On today's episode of Locked On Nets, Marcus Barrahall, Josh Bass talk about how Spencer Dinwiddie got his groove back, plus heroics from Kyrie Irving and Nick Claxton's excellent debut as the Nets take down Portland in an outstanding Dame Lillard performance. Coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Josh Bass. With me, not as always, because we've done a couple of solo pods the last week or two, but Marcus Barrahall. Marcus, we watched a great Nets win over Portland last night to kick off a West Coast trip, one of my favorite games of the young season. Very entertaining. How good does it feel to be back to 500?
Oh, it feels great, Josh. It also feels great to be back on this podcast with you. I missed it. You know, had some work stuff, but good to be back. Good to be back with a Nets win. And like you said, this game was very entertaining, pretty much from start to finish.
Yeah, it really was. And I'm a little concerned that your work doesn't kind of acquiesce to let you just work around kind of the Nets games and your podcasting schedule. It might be something that we need to talk about offline because we haven't been able to sync up the last week. I was traveling, then you were busy. But it's really kind of when we're together, it's like we have great synergy in the pick and roll and just makes magic happen.
Yeah, the last week and a half was kind of like Spencer Dinwiddie trying to throw lobs in the first couple games of the season. It's just slightly off, but now we're back.
Yeah, he threw a really bad one last night also, which was a turnover.
To Claxton?
Yeah. Yeah, but he did so much other good stuff. And Spencer, you know, the guy got his groove back, 34 points off the bench, plus 22 for him. Only one turnover, that poor alley-oop pass where Claxton just was not open at all. But he was kind of the main story. Came in the late first quarter and just drilling tough threes. His third one of the night was really like he had the ball 3 or 4 seconds left on the shot clock, fading away, like a very Kyrie Irving-esque shot. And then he got going in the second half, the third quarter especially, getting to the basket, really being able to go downhill and attack the big man, which is where he's at his best. And he had seemed a little hesitant this season, kind of maybe he should shoot more mid-rangers, or maybe he'll just kind of pin the guard on his back and then try to inch in and either hit the big man for a pocket pass. But it looked like he was kind of caught in between, but he was just decisive going downhill against either Hassan Whiteside, Scal Labissiere, who had a tough night with 5,009 minutes. Spencer Dinwiddie was awesome and really kept the Nets in this thing the whole night and allowed Kyrie Irving to close it out late.
Yeah, Dinwiddie was fantastic. I mean, like you talked about, it really does come down to the aggressiveness. And like, even when he wasn't taking all the shots and like wasn't making all the plays, it felt like he was even like decisive in not doing things. Like, I don't know. I agree that in the first week and a half of the season, he seemed hesitant. Kurucs, who didn't play in this game, seemed hesitant. There were a lot of guys who I think maybe either didn't want to step on toes with like all the new faces or were just like still getting acclimated to the start of the season. But yeah, this felt like this was the Dinwiddie that I think both you and I have loved like the last year and a half. And yeah, it was nice to see him break out.
Yeah, and when he's on, he's one of my favorite players to watch because just the way he gets his points, driving fearlessly to the basket, draining deep threes, it's almost very Damian Lillard like.
Yeah, it was good to see, like, because Dame was just like on fire like from the start. I think he had 26 in the first half. He was like hot in the first quarter too, but like seeing both Kyrie and Dinwiddie kind of step up to like Voltron together to be able to like match him, it was great to see, because I was watching on the Blazers feed after the fact, and like when Dinwiddie checked into the game, Kevin Calabro and Lamar Hurd were both saying like, oh, Dinwiddie's like a spark plug off the bench, blah, blah, blah. And I think he does have that reputation now of being like a Lou Williams, like prime Jamal Crawford type of player. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't really been living up to that the first week and a half. So it was good to see him like kind of play up to expectation and obviously beyond expectation with 34 points. But seeing him like have a nice game, like I just root for him, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like he does have that reputation now as being one of the most electric six men in the league, because, you know, his first season with the Nets, he was more of a caretaker guard and a really nice surprise, but not someone that could go out and win you a game. And he's shown, obviously, last night and then last year that he can be a very explosive player, and his reputation is increasing as he goes around and burns more teams like he did to Houston last year and to Detroit. So his reputation is really on the come up, and it's great to see him get going because they needed him last night, because Caris LeVert had a really, really rough game, man.
Yikes.
Two of 13 from the field, just looked lost, struggling to hit some easy mid-rangers. He did have a couple of nice passes and 9 rebounds, which is very necessary for this Nets team that's kind of short up front. But yeah, as long as kind of two of the Nets' 3 playmaking guards can get going, and obviously you have Kyrie Irving, one of the best players in the league, you know, he's going to be a factor every night. It's really just Dinwiddie and Caris kind of need at least volley back and forth on terms of who can be a reliable option on any given night.
Yeah, it felt like that was kind of the case last year with D'Lo and Kyrie's plays, but Kyrie's just been like way more consistent than mm-hmm. Russell was. And I know D'Lo had like an incredible game last night with, I think he had 52 for the Warriors, but yeah, Kyrie just brings it like night to night. If he gets below 25 points, like I'll be stunned.
Yeah, because even last night, like he started off pretty hot. He hit a couple nice threes, but he wasn't like on. And obviously he hit that really nice banker to kind of seal the game and finish with 33 points, efficient shooting, only one turnover. So his numbers look awesome, but I didn't feel like he was like up to his full potential. And it's insane that he can have that kind of output even when he's not firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, it was like a quiet 33 for him in this game.
Yeah, if that's possible.
Right.
Yeah. But so obviously we'll kind of get into the center's discussion, because I thought, obviously, I'm pretty hyped up about Nick Claxton's debut, and he might be making me eat crow after I was kind of lukewarm on the draft pick at the time, and we'll talk about Jared Allen as well. But in terms of defense, and there wasn't a ton, the Nets give up 60 points to Lillard on super efficient shooting. Is there anything they could do to stop it? They were trying so many different guys on him, whether it be Nwaba, obviously Kyrie, Dinwiddie, LeVert. Just there was no answer for this dude.
Yeah, and I'm not totally sure how much of that was like the game plan and how much of it was just, like you said, that they couldn't stop him. Because like with this game and with the Pelicans game now, they've given up 100 points to Brandon Ingram and Damian Lillard, but they're 2-0, so it's like kind of worked out. And they did a great job containing CJ McCollum. He didn't really do anything.
He missed some easy shots.
No, yeah, for sure. But like even still, like he's 4 for 19. That's
right.
Like that's not all just missing shots. And I thought Joe Harris did a great job chasing him around screens in the first quarter. Caris LeVert had good activity, even though he wasn't bringing it on the offensive end. And the Nets did a great job of just rebounding the ball in the first half, especially, and just like ending possessions. And that's kind of where I thought that they won the game, was like Claxton, who you mentioned, his activity on the offensive glass. And then the team as a whole, just kind of like tipping rebounds to each other, or like just making sure they secured everything and limiting the Blazers to one possession, I thought was huge. But yeah, I mean, they obviously, Lillard is insane, and he scored 60 points in this game. Granted, 10 of those came like in that last like minute and a half of the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, still, I think it felt like he could score whenever he wanted, and he was kind of, anytime he didn't score, it was because he was trying to get other guys involved. But yeah, it felt like every shot he took was going in. And I don't know, again, like if that was the game plan, like to just like stop everyone else, because the Blazers, kind of like the Nets, don't have a ton of like scoring options outside of their main couple of guards. So maybe that was the plan, and to just like have these other guys beat us, or have stop these other guys and say, if Dame scores 60, he scores 60, but no one else is going to score on this team.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tough, because Lillard was just so efficient. I mean, 15 to 15 from the line, especially in that fourth quarter, he was getting around the big man on a switch and just hitting that same layup every single time, like 3 or 4 possessions in a row. Like the way he was getting his points, it wasn't fluky. It wasn't like, hey, he's just getting to the mid-range every time. The Nets are going to live with that shot because it's less efficient. Like he was just torching them. But luckily, Portland, it's like crazy to see how bad their team is outside of Dame and CJ. I mean, Simons, I thought, was really good, even though he shot the ball pretty inefficiently. He was really getting into it on defense, and he's an exciting player. But, I mean, they were having to rely on so many unproven guys, whether it be him, Gary Trent, Scott Labissiere, Nasir Little, like Hazonia's bounced around from team to team. Like, it's crazy how much the Zach Collins injury set them back, because he is just kind of a competent, versatile player, but they don't have anyone on their roster that can even do what he did.
Yeah, and like we're forgetting also, like, Yusuf Nurkic is hurt, too. He's been out.
Yep.
He's going to be out for a while. And, like, I was also, like, stunned that Pau Gasol is, like, A, still in the league, and B, on the Blazers.
He was wearing jeans on their bench. Like, he was wearing, like, dad jeans on their bench, which I thought was so funny.
His biggest mistake of the season was that look. But, yeah, like, the Blazers are, like, very thin up front, kind of similar to the Nets, honestly, at least at, like, the four spot, because they were starting Hezonja. They tried Tolliver there for a little bit. Nasir Little looked pretty good, but he hasn't really gotten a ton of run, like you mentioned. And yeah, they were just extremely thin. And I tend to think that this was the Nets' strategy to just like let Lillard go off and stop everyone else. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I think you kind of with this Blazers team, obviously, you have to try and stop Dame and CJ and say, hey, listen, if Hezonja beats us, if Gary Trent beats us, if Baze beats us, you know, that we're going to live with that. So I think in that sense, the Nets executed the game plan. I don't think Kenny came in saying, hey, Dame was going to score 60 and it'll be fine. But, you know, overall, I think it was a good showing from the Nets. And not to say Jarrett Allen had a bad game defending the rim. He had some really nice weak side shot blocks. Overall, finished with five blocks for the game. I think his defensive performance was solid. Played pretty well on the glass. It was more so had a couple problems finishing. But overall, when he did get cooked, it was just because the guy he was going up against happens to be one of the best players in the league and one of the best scoring guards I've ever seen.
Yeah, and the Nets made that like nice run in the fourth quarter when Portland like went up by five. I think it was 103-98. Then the Nets went on a 17-2 run after that, and a lot of that was because everyone was chipping in on offense. Joe Harris hit a couple threes. Dinwiddie got a layup to go. Kyrie was getting to the line. And then on the defensive end, it felt like they were forcing the ball out of Lillard's hands and just kind of trapping him. And I like the mixing of strategies and kind of throwing
the box and one. The box and one.
Yeah, they brought that back. It was a nice throwback to last season. But yeah, I like mixing the coverages mid-game. I thought Kenny did a great job of that. And like, even though Lillard got 60, it was pretty much just that. Like, they stopped everything else, I thought.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And even when the Nets got down by 5, 103-98, I did feel kind of weirdly confident throughout the game. Maybe I should have thrown some money on it because I had a good feeling the whole day. I was excited for this game. And if I did put some money on it and make a little wager, I would have done so through MyBookie, our good friends at MyBookie. Of course, as pro and college basketball are tipping off, there's no better way to feel a part of the action to have a stake in the game with MyBookie.ag. NCAA is back. I'm pretty excited about that. Get to scout out the top draft prospects. They're in action. It's time to turn your attention away from carving those pumpkins to the Spartans carving up defenses. They lost their opening game, but Cassius Winston, he's returned for his senior season, trying to prove that he has what it takes to bring Michigan State a championship again. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. You play, you win, you get paid. Marcus, sounds pretty good to me. We're going to take a break and then talk about Nick Claxton and his huge performance in really his first meaningful minutes in the NBA. Marcus Claxton, how hype are you for this guy? He was I didn't expect it because he had a great game, but not in the way that kind of Nets fans have been hyping him up. People are saying that he has a decent-looking three-point stroke. He can handle the ball for someone of his size, but he was getting down and dirty, finished with five offensive rebounds. He was a force in the glass, had that possession where he missed the shot but kept fighting for the ball, ended up getting a foul called on Portland and almost punched CJ McCollum in the face out of just pure excitement and determination.
Yeah, that reminded me of, I think it was Carlos Boozer. There was one play where he like got an and one and like turned to like pump his fist and like just punched a ref right in the nuts.
Oh my God. I miss Carlos Boozer.
But yeah, Claxton was really good. He was extremely active on the offensive glass, and I felt like he brought a real spark off the bench that we've been talking about that the team hasn't really had. Like, because Dinwiddie's been cold and because Rhodey's been hesitant, and like it's taken, like Temple had a nice game here and there, but like they haven't really had like an energy guy pop off the bench. And I thought Claxton
should have been Nwaba.
Right. Nwaba like could have been that guy, but he hasn't been getting run. He got a couple minutes in this game. But yeah, Claxton brought a ton of energy. He was just tenacious, and he felt like he just kept coming and coming. And he looked like a lot more polished, I think, than I expected a little bit on offense. Like, he had a really nice spin move at one point. He was was showing good touch, like, on a couple nice bank shots. So it was really encouraging. Hopefully DeAndre Jordan's injury isn't, like, too serious, and he's back pretty soon. I think he expects to be back on this road trip. But I think I feel confident that Claxton can provide, like, 15 good minutes if the Nets need it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. And he was going up against Scott LeBissiere, who may or may not be an NBA player, and especially kind of as we get into further along on this road trip, if there's a chance that DeAndre Jordan's still out, he's going to have to face some tougher tests, especially going up against, let's say, Utah. If he ends up getting matched up with Rudy Gobert at any point, that's going to be a bigger challenge than Scal, no offense. Even Mason Plumlee, if he's matching up backup minutes against Denver. So this was a nice test for him, and I didn't expect him to be so good on the glass, because you look at him, this dude is rail thin. They weigh him in at 215 pounds. It's not like he's one of these guys that's just like a behemoth jacked player, but similarly, in kind of like an Ed Davis type of way, he was just outworking the Blazers on the inside, getting great angles. Obviously, 2 of 5 from the free throw line, not what you love to see. And it's just a recurring bugaboo for the Nets centers being able to not connect on their free throws. Jared Allen, 4 of 8 as well. But he was overall just super impressive for the Nets. Defensively, he didn't look like he was a standout, but he also wasn't lost. And that's really all you can ask for a rookie center playing their first minutes.
Yeah, he got switched at one point on defense. I think it was either on Dame or CJ, but he like kind of held his own. I think they got off like a decent look from three, but it wasn't like he was embarrassed or anything. And that was kind of what was hyped about him, like in the preseason and even in summer league, was that he could switch out onto the perimeter, and that he could maybe even possibly like play the four for this team, which I think is a stretch. But just seeing that he's like more versatile, more switchy, more able to defend outside than Jared Allen or DeAndre Jordan at this point in his career, like if he keeps improving, he could be a guy that maybe they turn to against a small ball five, like in the right matchups.
Yeah, and especially you need that kind of player that's willing to get out and switch on the perimeter, because you have Jared Allen. He's going to be kind of staying by the basket, because his best defensive moments are as kind of that weak side shot blocker. And then you have DeAndre Jordan, who might be not allowed legally to leave the paint area. So against a lot of teams, and especially someone like Portland, if DeAndre Jordan was in there, they're just giving up so many mid-range jumpers, and maybe that's what gets CJ McCollum going. But with Claxton, he's more versatile. He can obviously stand back at the paint if he needs to, with having a 7'2", 7'3 wingspan. But his ability to get on the perimeter just gives the Nets a different look, and that's kind of what you need, because you need to just have different options to throw at different teams. There's not going to be a one-size-fits-all, and if he can even be a competent player, it just gives Kenny another tool in his quiver to work with.
Yeah, and that's like the whole thing with the regular season is like there's so many games and they're all so close together that teams don't have a ton of time to prepare. So like the more versatile and malleable you can be, like the better you'll be, at least in the regular season.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Were you surprised that Crooks didn't get any run in this game? Obviously, he really has struggled this season. Besides that Knicks game and against the Pels, he was pretty terrible. But I was surprised that Kenny went with Jana Musa over him.
Yeah, I was a little confused. I wasn't sure if he was like injured or something, but I didn't see anything online about that. So I don't know.
He was on
the
bench.
Yeah, he's struggled through these first couple games of the season. And I think he's kind of trying to find what he had last year, where the expectations were so low, like just being a second round pick. And he went way above and beyond those, obviously making it into the Rising Stars game. And I think this year he came in with a little bit more heightened expectation, and then he had the incident off the court, and then he struggled to start the year. And I think he's maybe facing criticism for the first time, where he didn't really face that in the beginning because he didn't have any expectations. So I think he's probably just trying to like get that back and get his confidence back. So obviously this isn't going to help that, not playing in a game, but I don't know. Maybe they need to send him to Long Island or something.
I don't know. I think like he did enough for this team last year where even if he's a little lost in the sauce, like you still have to play him. And I'm not a Musa guy, so especially choosing Musa over him. Musa had one wide open catch and shoot three. He completely bricked it. And then
the
on a four on two in transition, he pulls up from like 30 feet and airballs it. I just don't know what's happening with this dude. He did have like a nice running hook shot, which was cool. And I think it just shows that he has a lot of kind of moves and shots, but overall, you know, this isn't Long Island. This is the NBA. This is Brooklyn. You're going to need to be able to hit spot up threes. It's great that you can be a tertiary playmaker against bench units, but it's much kind of better if you can be a reliable spot up shooter, which he just hasn't proved to me.
Right. Just like focusing in on one skill that you can use to like fill a role, because he's not going to ever become like a main ball handler. So there's not really any point in him trying to be like doing a bunch of different things right now.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you on there on that point. And it's like, I was checking kind of just some stats on Basketball Reference today. Does it surprise you at all that the Nets are fourth in offensive rating in the league? Because I feel like we've been so disjointed this year.
Yes and no. I saw a stat that they're like leading the league in points per game and like 3-point percentage and a bunch of different like offensive categories, and they have scored like a ton of points every game. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me, but I do agree that they've looked disjointed, and I feel like they still have levels they can get to on offense that they haven't hit yet, which is crazy because like you said, they are pretty much a top five offense right now. So it's surprising, but at the same time, like, they've been scoring, so it's not that surprising.
Yeah, no, I guess they have, but it's like, for me, when I look at it, like, especially given all the free throw woes which have cost them games, it's like, oh, they're leaving points on the board, horrible turnovers. I'm just like, it's surprising me, but I guess, you know, their three-point shooting as a team has collectively been excellent. They're number one in the league in three-point shooting as a team, 40%. Obviously, a lot of that comes down to having a guy like Joe Harris and obviously Kyrie Irving, who's been shooting the lights out of the ball. Prince has been doing really well in the aggregate, even though he struggled last night. And then guys like Garrett Temple can have a big game, and Karras' three-point shot has looked better this year as well. But, you know, as you mentioned, there are different levels they can go. They really have struggled with turnovers, so just cutting that out, even by a couple a game, will make a huge difference.
Yeah, in this game, they were a lot better at protecting the ball. They only had 9 turnovers, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I think they're averaging like almost, they were averaging almost 20 per game coming into this one. So they cut that pretty much in half. The free throws is like an easy spot where they can get a few more points. And yeah, if they can keep the turnovers down, like, they're scoring like 120 points a night, basically.
Yeah. And I think the turnovers, like, obviously, I thought they didn't beat themselves. They took care of the ball. But a lot of it, you have to look at who they're playing. And, you know, Portland, with their guards are not going to get into you and cause a lot of turnovers. They do have a lot of athletes on the bench, but kind of their, like, starting wings, even though Hood basically came out after the first quarter and didn't come back, but Hazonia is not going to really cause you a lot of problems. Tolliver's not going to do much. Gary Trent's not really going to get into you. So I'd be interested to see, and we can transition to kind of the rest of this road trip, but how they do against a team like Phoenix, which has a ball hawk and Ricky Rubio, really good athletes, as in a guy like Kelly Oubre, who can get out and really cause problems just getting in passing lanes and just being a good athlete. So I think that's going to be a bigger test than a team like Portland, who historically plays a very conservative defensive scheme and doesn't cause many turnovers.
Yeah, Utah as well in the following game. Like, yep. It's going to be a nice test these next two games to see if the Nets offense can like deal with all that.
Yeah. And how are you feeling about the road trip as a whole? Because, you know, I feel like if the Nets got off to a good start, they can really get going. Have Phoenix tomorrow, who's been a nice surprise to start the year, but Nets should be able to take this game and then end the trip with Chicago, with obviously Utah and Denver as kind of the middle of that. But if the Nets can go 2-2 in these next four games, you have to take that as a huge win, considering some of the shaky play they've had to start the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's like very much in play. And then after that, they'll have three at home against Indiana, Charlotte, and Sacramento, like all winnable games. They get the Knicks and Cleveland after that. So they have the opportunity here to go on a real run and win like 6 or 7 of these next 8 or 9 games. So hopefully it starts with the Phoenix game tomorrow.
Yeah, we can only hope. We'll be with you guys every step of the way to cover it all. Of course, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya, Podbean, Stitcher. We will be there. Rate us, review us, tell us how we're doing. And then follow us on Twitter. I am at @JMBass_. Marcus is at @MarcusBarahall. But if you want our collective follow, you go to @LockedOnNets. Check out the podcast and all of our friends over at the Locked On Podcast Network. A lot of great stuff. College football, NFL in full gear, college basketball, one of my favorites. So a lot of good stuff by our contemporaries, even though Gavin Shaw is included in that, unfortunately.
The one exception.
Locked On Knicks. Yeah, they're the one exception to the rule. But everyone else is doing a great job. And until next time, we'll speak to you guys.
Bye.